The following is a podcast from Live It, a ministry of St. Marcus. For more information or for message notes, go to www.liveitmke.org.
In the name of that untraceable God, unsearchable God, he has a word for us tonight from 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All God's people here send their greetings. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Way back in the earliest centuries of the Christian church, there lived a man by the name of Augustine. And he was from North Africa, and he became a Christian later in life, an adult convert to Christianity. And I think if you would stack his pre-Christian life up against other unbelievers, his would rank pretty high or low as far as morality goes. Immorality, I should say. But God changed him the way that only God can do. God made him a believer. God made him a Christian. And then he just immersed himself in the Word of God. And he became this staunch defender of the Christian faith. One of the greatest church fathers who has ever lived. And he wrote many wonderful works which clarify Christian teaching for us. However, there was this one time in his Christian life when things weren't so clear to him. He was using his prodigious mental powers, you know, all of his intellect to grasp what we're talking about tonight, the Trinity, the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but not three gods, one God. And he wanted to grasp that so that he could explain it to other people. And he was thinking so hard about it that he fell into a dream. And in his dream, he was walking along the Mediterranean Sea. And in that dream, he saw a little boy who had dug a little hole in the sand and was running to the sea water and scooping up a little bit by a shell and then running back to his hole and dumping it in. And Augustine in his dream said, "Little boy, what are you doing?" And the boy said, "I am going to empty the ocean into my hole." And Augustine said, "My little friend, that's impossible." And then in this dream, Saint Augustine, great defender of the Christian faith, heard this from that little boy: "It is just as impossible to empty the mysteries of the triune God with the little shell of your mind." That's good advice. And I guarantee you, I am not going to buck that advice tonight in this message. Please understand me correctly, but there will be no understanding of the triune God in this message. And when we preach on the triune God, when we read passages about the triune God, when we sing songs about the triune God like we had during the offering, when we confess creeds about the triune God, it's really not to explain it. It's really not to understand it. It's to rejoice in it. It's to marvel in it. It's to thank the Lord that we have the God that we have. I want to just listen to God tonight. I want to listen to Him through His Word, and I want Him to tell us who He is in these last words of 2 Corinthians. And when He does, I think we're all going to be able to exclaim, what a God we have. What a God we have. He brings us into fellowship with Himself. And if that isn't enough, He brings us into fellowship with each other. This just in, every Christian congregation consists of sinners. And because that is the case, every Christian congregation, ours included, is going to have fights, and there's going to be spats, and there's going to be disagreements. But then there's the Corinthian congregation. And I think if you read the book of the New Testament that we call 1 Corinthians, if you read that, I think one of the impressions you're going to come away with is that congregation was a mess. I mean, they were a train wreck, this congregation. I don't have time to give you all of their problems, but here's a few. They broke out into like cliques, factions, and would look down at each other, and they would fight with each other, and they were taking each other to court, suing each other, and sexual morality, that was kind of like a multiple choice thing. I mean, that they weren't abiding by that at all. There was also this matter of a bunch of them apparently did not believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And yet, with this congregation, Paul, in the last words of his last letter to them, can't help but think of them as family, calling them brothers and sisters. And he can't help but hug them with a blessing. A blessing that has become famous in our church. You heard it at the beginning of worship tonight. Often we conclude worship with it. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We hear that a lot. Jesus told us to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We often begin worship in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We hear it a lot. Paul wants us to think about it. And what is the one point that he's getting across to us tonight? Just this. That one true God in three persons has blessed us immeasurably. He's blessed us in such a way to bring us into a close personal relationship with Him. And then Paul does us the service, like the divinely inspired service, of telling us one special gift that each person of the triune God gives to us. Now, to God the Father, He ascribes love. That's the gift that Paul wants to talk about, that God the Father gives to you. Love. God loves you. Now, I hope you've heard that before. I just said it. But if you haven't heard that before, He really does. God loves you. And you know, we should try to love like God loves. But I think you know that we never can fully love the way God loves. Because his divine love, think about it, he loved you so much that he made you. He created you. He brought you into this world. And then he gave you a living soul. And he loved you so much that when our souls committed crimes against him, he did not answer those crimes with punishment, but by sending his one and only Son. Not with retribution did he answer those crimes, but instead with the forgiveness of sins. That's how much God loves you, and it is most fabulously on display in God the Son. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're used to singing the hymn, Amazing Grace. Here's another, that's a great word for it, by the way, Amazing Grace. I think another great word for it is Surprising Grace. Because you see, grace is God's favor. Undeserved favor, undeserved kindness toward people. People who don't deserve it, people like you and me. He answers our sin with his kindness. That's grace. Here's another hymn. Grace has a thrilling sound to each believer's ear. That grace with God through Christ is found is news I gladly hear. See, God the Son became one of us. That's grace. God the Son, Jesus the Christ, stepped into our world and he reached down into all of our bad decisions. And he reached down into all of our bad deeds. And he reached down into all of our bad relationship with God. And he sent it as far as the east is from the west. He got rid of it. He removed it. That's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the love of God the Father. But you tell me, what good would it do you if you didn't know about it? If you didn't believe it? If you didn't think it was for you? What good would that perfect cure for your deadly disease do you if the doctor prescribed it and the pharmacist filled the prescription, but there was no nurse? There was no nurse to apply that medicine to you, that healing medicine. God the Holy Spirit is the nurse. God the Holy Spirit is the nurse. He takes the love of God the Father. He takes the grace of God the Son. And he puts it in our heart. He applies it to us. Paul says that's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. He takes these divine gifts and he makes them ours. He convinces us of them. And as he does, he builds us into a body of believers. What a fellowship that we have because of God the Holy Spirit. We're adopted into God's family. We're bonded with the one true God. What a God we have. What a God we have. Love and grace and fellowship, each one of them not enough if they were alone. But our God, the one true God, he gives them to us in full measure because he loves us. And he brings us into fellowship with him when that's something that we would not do on our own. And here's something else I think about with fellowship. It's not just this way, you know, vertical. It's horizontal. What about the fellowship that we have with one another, the relationships we have with each other? You know, when you're a member of a church like St. Marcus, there's a lot of great relationships that go along with that. But we really sell the Apostle Paul short. We really miss his point if we think that the relationships that exist within a Christian congregation are some kind of like organizational residue. You know, well, a church, every organization has relationships. A church is an organization, therefore we have relationships with one another. No, it's way, way deeper than that. It's way more incredible than that, Paul says. This is what he writes. Brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. Let me tell you, restoration, encouragement, one-mindedness, peace, that they were not going to happen with that motley Corinthian crew unless God did it. God had to do that. God had to build that between the Corinthians. And this group that had broken out into all of these factions and were looking down on each other, and they took the Ten Commandments and kind of turned them into the Ten Suggestions, and they were listening to every Tom, Dick, and Harry who said that they were a holy man and forgetting about what the Apostle Paul taught them. And then we read this and we say, Paul, are you nuts? Do you really think that this group is going to be at peace with one another? You think that this group is going to come to full restoration and live in harmony with one another? Are you crazy, Paul? No, he's not crazy. He knows something. He knows something. He knows that our God is a big God. And our big God can take the division and build unity. And he can take the strife and build peace. And he can take all of those different opinions about what God said and who God is, and he can make oneness of mind out of it. That's what Paul knew. He wasn't crazy, and believe me, he wasn't counting on the power of his personality to make this happen. No, he was putting it all on the triune God. And he knew that that God who had established a relationship like this, the vertical one between God and people, that he could also establish all of those relationships with each other. This is the way it is in a Christian congregation. The more that you hear the Word of God, and the more that he builds that one, this relationship, well, then all of these just get better and better with each other. I think about that with St. Marcus. You know, I've said more than once about our congregation. Our beauty is our diversity. Our strength is our unity. The gospel of Jesus Christ, friends, does not just accept diversity, it expects diversity, because God can change any heart. It doesn't matter the nationality, it doesn't matter the background, it can change any heart with the message of Jesus Christ. And as he does that, he builds one strong body, and the strength of the core strength of the body is the Word of God that binds us all together. And what does that Word of God say that we all have in common? No matter what our background, no matter who we are, we all have what in common? God shed his blood for us. I'm not looking at anybody right now where I wouldn't say, God shed his blood for you, because he did. He did. And that's what binds us together. Are you having a difference of opinion with a fellow church member right now? And you're pretty sure that you're right and they're wrong about serving God? Take care, my friend. Take care that you see that person as a blood-bought soul before you say your next word. And is your heart wounded? And it won't heal because you can't forgive. Take care, brother or sister, take care that you see that repentant brother or sister in the cross of Jesus Christ and not in the crosshairs of your own hurt and your own need to punish them. You see, God, the one true God, he has brought us together to walk in the Word and in peace. This is the fellowship that God builds among us. Back in the 1800s, at the height of his popularity, famous American author Mark Twain was traveling Europe, and he was getting wined and dined by all the heads of state. One day, with great fanfare, a telegram was delivered to the hotel room where his family was staying. Great fanfare because it was from the King of Germany. Back then he was called the Kaiser. And the Kaiser never sent anybody an invitation for a private dinner, but he did that to Mark Twain and his family. Come have a dinner in my palace. And Twain's oldest daughter exclaimed, Papa, if this keeps up, there will be nobody left for you to get acquainted with but God. You know, in her own way, she hit on it, right? The most important relationship in our lives is to be acquainted with, to be in fellowship with the one true God. Before you go to bed tonight, thank God that he did that for you. He built that relationship with him. And as you thank him for that, thank him also for this, that we are blessed to be able to love and serve and help and encourage and comfort and grieve and rejoice and build together. Yes, together as one fellowship of believers. What a God we have. Amen.